Broadcasting live across the big sky, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Well, tons to talk about this morning after yesterday's elections. I know we had a bunch here in Montana and obviously a bunch all across the country. Didn't go super great for Republicans, I guess we can put it that way. Some very, very disturbing results out of Virginia. The Democrat Jay Jones won the Virginia Attorney General's race despite texts endorsing violence, calling little kids Nazis that deserve to die. He won. I guess here in Montana, one bit of good news is that Haley McKnight or whatever her name was, out of Helena, the Helena City Commission candidate that had made some disgusting, vile, violent threats against Tim Sheehy. At least she lost. Sort of wanted to start here this morning with some of Aaron Flint's takes, because I know we're all paying attention to what Aaron Flint says. Number one, he's got a retweet up from Matt Walsh. Matt Walsh says, a third world communist won in New York because New York is a third world city now. This is mass migration working exactly as intended. It isn't any more complicated than that. Period. Well said by Matt Walsh. By the way, got a lot to say about that New York situation, but kind of wanted to go through here some of Aaron Flint's takes. Decision Desk last night had projected Jay Jones to win the Virginia Attorney General, even though he endorsed political violence. I had another story here. I can't remember if it was Pew Research or some other reputable research polling firm that basically has found that 25% plus of Americans actually support political violence. Very, very disturbing. I mean, you look at, okay, 25% of Americans, that's about half of the Democrats. And so you've got half of Democrats out there that actually support political violence, and you see that coming through in these results out of Virginia. Aaron retweeted Guy Benson, who had said, blue sweeps are not at all surprising, but this sociopath winning is dark. And I agree with Guy. I agree with Aaron's retweet there. I mean, the fact that Jay Jones, this Democrat in Virginia who endorses violence, calls little kids Nazis, says they should die, says he hopes, I mean, it's the same as Haley McKnight in Helena. It's like, it doesn't matter if it's the Democrat Virginia Attorney General, whether it's some Helena City Commissioner, like John Jackson was saying yesterday, these Democrats are all the same. The craziness never ends. I do have some sort of takes that might make folks feel better when you see the commie Mom Donnie winning in New York, when you see this guy Jay Jones winning in Virginia. You may be down a bit, but I've got a couple of comments here and some sort of analysis that I've heard that may give us some room to hope for the future. Aaron retweeted Greg Price, who quoted Zoran. This movement was made by Yemeni bodega owners, Mexican abuelas, Senegalese taxi drivers, Uzbek nurses, Trinidadian line cooks, Ethiopian aunties. So that's just open. They're just, Zoran and the Democrats are just being open about it, folks. They're taking over New York City, and they're not Americans. Notice not one American mentioned in that list from Zoran.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With a mix of clouds and sunshine across the area for today, high temperature readings will stay right around 60 from Bozeman to the Billings area. For tonight, we can expect a partly to mostly cloudy sky, isolated rain shower chance towards Bozeman. Otherwise, low temperatures in the upper 30s to lower 40s. Partly sunny Thursday, 51 in Bozeman to 60 in Billings. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm weatherology meteorologist Paul Trombley.
I'm Chad Pergram with the Speaker's Lobby. Every time there's a government shutdown, I turn to an unconventional barometer to understand the depth of the impasse. I always observe the first few minutes of the Senate session, not to hear Senate Majority Leader John Thune and Minority Leader Chuck Schumer, but to listen to someone who has a direct line to someone who outranks everyone in the Senate. I listen to the Senate's opening prayer from Senate Chaplain Barry Black. Black is a parliamentary pastor offering ecumenical intercessions in search of a shutdown solution. Black unloaded on his Senate flock a few weeks ago. Quote, Lord, remind our lawmakers that no gold medals are given for breaking shutdown records, prayed Black. Black sizzling sermons from the Senate pulpit are canon during times of crisis. He delivered similar prayers during the lengthy government shutdowns of 2013 and 2018-2019. Only the Almighty knows how the government shutdown will end. But until then, operations of the federal government are limping along on a wing and a prayer. With the Speaker's Lobby, Chad Pergram, Fox News.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors. Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August.
Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen, and subscribe.
One of life.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Hey, you know, the last time we caught up with Brian Massard from Reminisce Angus Ranch in Dillon, what a great conversation we had. You know, we not only talked about his great products, you know, his great steaks, the great beef jerky, the beef bacon, and more that Reminisce Angus Ranch provides. You can get them at certain grocery stores. You can find their jerky at some gas stations, like some of the town pump locations. You can also get it delivered to your house. But we also talked with Brian Massard about his efforts to help make America healthy again. He was just at the White House. He's taken part in other roundtable discussions back in Washington, D.C., because he knows that if we want to make America healthy again, beef has got to be on the table. So anyways, great catching up with him. If you want to learn more about, you know, the creative things he's doing out at Reminisce Angus Ranch, partnering with N-Soil Algae, for example, or if you want to find out how you can get his products to your place, check out remangus.com. remangus.com.
Hey, it's David Noble. We're back here, folks, live. Had to get in the Aaron Flint ad read there. A couple other things Aaron tweeted out. One was yesterday. He said, we need to launch the Noble Jackson Show. That is much appreciated. We got some very kind comments from some folks about me and John Jackson filling in yesterday. We had a good time, and hopefully people enjoyed that. The Montana Republican Party. This is, you know, I had mentioned yesterday that Haley McKnight Democrat from Helena that was threatening the life of Tim Sheehy and saying some of the most evil, vile things that you could ever imagine to him was the picture that I saw of her. She was wearing some LGBTQ thing, flying the pride flag. And it's just always so ironic to me is that those folks who claim to love everybody, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, which is really a Christian idea that they've sort of co-opted and twisted, and they love to use, you know, scriptures and twist them to use against Christians, one of the most evil things they do. But they're the ones that oftentimes, oh, we're so open-minded, you know, we accept everybody. But not if you're a conservative, not if you're a Christian, then they're the most hateful, evil, violent people imaginable. The Montana Republican Party yesterday tweeted out, what exactly is the relationship between McKnight and Montana Democrat lawmakers like James Revis and then Laura, who's this? James Revis and Laura Smith, both Democrats, along with Mary Ann Dunwell, another Democrat. Have any of them anything to say about her suitability for office after wishing death upon a public official? I certainly didn't see anything. In fact, I can check James Revis. He's a state rep out of Billings. I'm just pulling up his Twitter page here. Not a single thing, not one thing from James Revis calling out or denouncing McKnight. But what this post goes on to talk about is how this Haley McKnight actually identifies as transgender, has they pronouns on their Instagram profile, according to this article. Aaron Flint says, it was a she-they wishing death and violence on Senator Sheehy. Why are the people waving rainbow flags so filled with hatred. And I've got my reasons why I think the folks with the rainbow flag. By the way, the rainbow flag to me, that represents God's promise to never flood the earth again. So, I mean, I kind of appreciate the LGBTQ radical movement putting the rainbow out there, because it's always a good reminder about God's promise to never flood the earth again. Anyway, I've got some more to comment on that. Donald Trump Jr. even tweeted out about this Helena, the city commission candidate, Haley McKnight, wishing cancer death on Senator Sheehy. Donald Trump Jr. said, "This is totally deranged, wishing cancer and death on an American patriot like Tim Sheehy. After a leftist assassinated Charlie, I assumed the left would stop this type of crap, but it's clear that things are only getting worse." Exactly right, by Donald Trump Jr. And you know what? He brings up the point about Tim Sheehy being an American patriot, and that really reminds me of a thought that I had about this whole thing. First of all, the whole premise behind. By the way, Haley McKnight defended her statements. And the no Democrats were denouncing it yesterday, and or certainly this morning or anything like that. But Haley McKnight's actually defending it. And here's the deal. The whole reason she was saying some of those vile, horrible things, wishing death and cancer, infertility, erectile dysfunction, wishing all of that on Tim Sheehy, simply because Tim Sheehy thought it was appropriate that if you're a working age, able-bodied human being, that you should have to show that you're trying to get a job to get free health care. Or you should have to be volunteering for 20 hours a week or working 20 hours a week. Simple, basic, common sense thing that the vast, vast majority of Montanans support, and certainly a majority of Americans as well. That's what this whole thing was about. And in fact, there's some tweets that are actually about this. I think Jonathan Turley was one I saw, and I've got it saved here. I'll bring it up if I need to. But the fact that these Democrats are wishing those types of evil death threats on people simply for wanting work requirements for Medicaid, are you kidding me? So here's the takeaway from that. If you've got a policy that, I don't know, 60, 70% of people support, it's like, hey, if you want to get taxpayer-funded health care, if you want to get free health care, maybe you ought to be looking for a job, if not working at least 20 hours a week, or volunteering. You can go volunteer for 20 hours a week. That qualifies as well. If you're a working-age, able-bodied person, should you have to volunteer, work 20 hours a week, or at least be trying to get a job to get free taxpayer-funded health care? Something 60, 70, 80% of people support, and these Democrats think simply supporting that is sufficient to justify death. What that means is they want 60 to 70, 80% of you folks dead.
Securing America.
War Secretary Pete Hegseth finished his trip through Asia by speaking with U.S. troops stationed in South Korea, thanking them for honoring the commitment America's military has had there for over 70 years.
Your forefathers were on this same peninsula defending this same alliance.
The secretary also gave the troops credit for what they represent, especially with the threat of North Korea so close.
There is no deterrence without all of you. I'm looking in the eyes of deterrence, the faces and the families of deterrence, of the sacrifice that's required to keep us free.
Hegseth also saying that the troops make the president's policy goals a reality.
You can talk about peace through strength, but you got to have somebody that does the strength part. We're the strength department. You're the strength department.
Kevin Uretsky, Fox News.
Hey, Aaron Flint here with Montana Talks. I tell you what, we get some great guests on this show. We have some great sidekicks that join us on this show. And we've got friends inside the Trump administration and on Capitol Hill that will join us on this show. But I'll tell you what, the best part of Montana Talks, your phone calls. The chance to get to hear from people all across Montana and for you to be heard all across Montana. Keep your phone calls coming with Montana Talks, the show where you get to talk and be heard across the state.
Mientras más escuches a tus hijos, más atención te prestarán. Por eso le preguntamos a varios niños lo que desean que sus padres escuchen.
Para mí, amor no es dándome regalos o comprando casas. No, amor para mí es abrazos, hablando conmigo.
Escucharlos es amarlos. Encuentra maneras de apoyar emocionalmente a tus hijos en escuchandosentimientos.org. Visita escuchandosentimientos.org, traído a ti por Ad Council y Pivotal.
So my mother.
It's time for the Daybreak Ag Report from the Western Ag Network.
Good morning, everybody. I'm Russell Nemetz. Well, the American Sheep Industry Association has formally requested that the Office of the U.S. Trade Representative initiate a global safeguard investigation into U.S. imports of lamb meat under Sections 201 and 202 of the Trade Act of 1974. ASI President and Montana producer Ben LaFelt says that the investigation request is the culmination of months of ASI's independent research and advocacy.
We've looked at opportunities to make things better for our producer over the last 4 or 5 years, you know, two or three trade cases. We've opened, looked at subsidies, dumping, those type of things. Through COVID, played a different role in what was going on in the lamb industry. So this last year really has given us an opportunity to really look at things in a different way and, you know, take advantage of an opportunity that we have to put our American lamb on the same footing as some of our imports.
And he says that ASI's action seeks federal intervention to address the serious economic injury imported lamb products are inflicting on U.S. sheep producers.
We're looking to try to set up a fair trade and not just a free trade for our lamb products. So what we've been up against, what our producers have been up against, is a currency market that hasn't been in our favor for quite a while now. We got a 40-cent difference in currency, you know, a strong American dollar, great for our competitors, but, you know, tough for us to compete dollar for dollar when you look at those things. So, and then those other, you know, non-trade barriers that we deal with.
Now, findings from an ASI study show that U.S. lamb imports surged from 213.6 million pounds in 2020 to 309.3 million pounds in 2024, a nearly 45% increase, causing U.S. market share to decline by more than 9 percentage points. By last year alone, imports had captured roughly 70% of our domestic market. Stay with us. We'll have more Ag News right after this.
Celebrate Ag is back at Montana State University in Bozeman, November 2nd through the 8th. Join us as we honor Montana's proud agricultural roots and the people shaping its future. From producers and students to industry leaders, don't miss the Celebrate Ag Friday night social or the tailgate before Saturday's Bobcat game. A chance to connect, share stories, and cheer on the Bobcats. Learn more at agriculture.montana.edu/celebrateag.
Grow with purpose at the Rotation Matters Growing Together Workshop, happening December 1st at the Hilton Garden Inn in Great Falls. Hear from pulse and canola experts as they share insights on crop rotation, market trends, farm bill updates, and what's next for Montana agriculture. Registration only $50 online, $100 at the door. Join Northern Pulse Growers Association and Pacific Northwest Canola December 1st for a full day of learning, collaboration, and growth. Sign up today at northernpulse.com. That's northernpulse.com.
Well, on Tuesday, the National Wheat Foundation announced the 28 winners in the 10th annual National Wheat Yield Contest. And Riley Reynolds out of Twin Falls, Idaho, bested all entries this year and earned Bin Buster honors with his irrigated soft white winter wheat that yielded over 228 bushels per acre. Since its inception in 2016, the contest has encouraged wheat growers across America to strive for exceptional yields, high quality, and stronger profitability while trying new and innovative management strategies. For the Western Ag Network, I'm Russell Nemetz.
From Mondakistan to the Flathead, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right. By the way, this is David Noble. We are live here filling in for Aaron Flint on a Wednesday. If you want to call in or send a message, 406-294-0970. Call in, talk to the producer. He'll get your message to me or send a message on the Montana Talks app. Aaron Flint was sending out a couple other comments. We were talking about Don Jr. bringing up this story out of Montana. involving this Democrat city council candidate making a threat against Tim Sheehy. Aaron says, let's also remember the left-wing media mob in Montana downplayed the teachers slash professors and other wackos celebrating the assassination of the great American patriot Charlie Kirk. Well said, Aaron. Exactly. It's like this stuff is not because it's not isolated anymore. You're seeing it. You saw it with the Charlie Kirk assassination. You see it in the city commission race in Helena. You see it with the Virginia attorney general. Very, very dark times ahead. Aaron Flint also found this story related to something John Jackson and I were talking about yesterday. John Jackson and I were talking about how some New York magazine listed Zoe Zephyr, of all people, as one of the top 25 rising Democrats in the United States. And it's just, frankly, there's some good news from that. It's like, if they're having to stoop that low to pick out Zoe Zephyr as a potential like rising Democrat, you know they're desperate. And I even said this yesterday with John Jackson. To me, that just tells me they don't have a bench. The Democrats have no bench. Now, they're rebuilding it as we speak, which is the unfortunate part. But we were talking about this picture of Zoe Zephyr in the New York Magazine report. We did not know this. The Democratic state representative Zoe Zephyr posed on a couch that cost as much as an average rent for a one bedroom in Missoula, around $1,400, as Dems shut down the government. So the Democrats have the government shut down. The Democrats have the government shut down so that food stamps aren't going out. And meanwhile, you've got the Democrat representative Zoe Zephyr, the transgender representative from Missoula, being listed nationally as a top 25 rising Democrat, sitting on a couch worth $1,400, the average rent for a one bedroom. I talk about this all the time, and it's not just the Democrats, but the Republicans too. It really is kind of grotesque the way you see some of these political leaders sort of behaving and acting and enjoying themselves and living the high life while people are out here struggling. Now, I don't expect all of our politicians to, you know, never have a good time or you never go to a fancy dinner or anything like that. But when it's sort of official business, that's where it can kind of get a little bit disturbing. We got more from Aaron Flint's Twitter account. Did Aaron Flint's Twitter account really give me all the content I needed for the first half hour of the show? It sounds like it. And there's more to come. More from Aaron Flint's Twitter account right after this. A couple of different explanations for the results yesterday nationally, including the one that I kind of find the most compelling is that these were blue states where most of the conservatives have left. There's been a lot of people that have made this sort of point. I was just listening to some other folks make this point as well, but it's like one of the great sort of changes you've been seeing in the United States over the last 5 to 10 years. Some people call it the Great Sort. I've heard it referred to as the Great Sort, but basically a lot of conservatives leaving places like New York and Virginia and other blue places to come to places like Montana, Florida, more importantly, Florida, Texas, et cetera, et cetera. And so, you know, when you get a blue state like New York and a blue city like New York City and a blue state like Virginia electing Democrats after all the conservatives have left to go to Florida and Texas, I don't know how big of a deal that is. I also have heard that other, what we just heard there during the 6:30 news break in terms of, hey, what this really, you know, and even Trump apparently suggests that the Republicans didn't do well because of the shutdown. And I've heard that, and sort of the explanation is that, okay, even though it's the Democrats that shut the government down, the fact of the matter is what this whole tells me is that we still have a lot of voters out there, and they happen to be voters that vote Democrat a lot of the times, a lot of voters out there that are simply ignorant, simply uninformed. They don't know what the filibuster is. They don't know how the filibuster works. They don't know how the Senate works. They don't know what a CR is. They don't know what a clean CR is. They don't know that the Republican House, the Republican White House, and a majority over 50% of senators all voted to open the government, fund the government, keep the government. They don't know that the only reason the government shut down right now is because all of the Democrats have voted to not fund the government. And they're using it as a negotiating leverage and a tactic to try to get left-wing policies put into place. And it's like, Democrats, you guys lost the election in 2024. You don't get to undo the one big beautiful bill with some CR shutdown shenanigans. The Republicans are not going to. So it's like the fact that people would go and vote for Democrats because the government shut down and simply say, well, the Republicans control the House and this, and they have more than 50% in the Senate and they control the White House. So the government shutdown must be the Republicans' fault. Totally misunderstands the situation, totally leaves out any analysis or understanding of the filibuster rule, the requirement to get 60 votes in the Senate, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So we got a major problem there. Check this out. Aaron Flint retweeted Jonathan Turley. Jonathan Turley says, what was striking about this story from this Haley McKnight from Helena was her response. She explained how her rage was righteous and blamed conservatives for making public a voicemail with threats left at the office of a U.S. senator. They double down on this stuff. They justify violence against 60, 70, 80% of the politicians based on political belief differences. It's insane.
Every dollar matters at your kitchen table.
You listen to your kids, the closer you'll be. So we asked kids, what do you want your parents to hear?
I feel sometimes that I'm not listened to. I would just want you to listen to me more often and evaluate situations with me and lead me towards success.
Listening is a form of love. Find resources to help you support your kids and their emotional well-being at soundedouttogether.org. That's soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and Pivotal.
This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Hey, it's David Noble filling in, and Commissioner Brad Molnar here reminded me that's Noble with a K. I'm an attorney here in Billings. You can also find me online at LectureFan, LCTRFAN. But we've got Montana Public Service Commissioner Brad Molnar in the house. Commissioner Molnar, thanks so much for being here in person.
Thank you for sharing your listeners.
So I've been talking a bunch about just the election results and other things. Actually, I had one of the stories I had printed out just came out yesterday by Q2, a story by Jonathan Ambrarian. Montana PSC controversies continue as Molnar files ethics complaint against Bukacek. I guess, but instead of me just sort of reading the article and giving people, can you give us some background on kind of what's going on there?
Yeah, back in early part of April, I was in the copy room, the commissioner's copy room. And the garbage can was just overflowing first thing in the morning. And what had been going on, apparently for 3 years, is Commissioner Bukacek, apparently, because you always see her dragging her little valise around, which is very rare, is bringing her business documents down to the PSC to copy them. And that's against the law because it's government property being used for private. So I talked to Commissioner Fielder. I said, you know, can you come into my office? And I said, I found these in the garbage can, and I showed it to her. She said, you're kidding me. I said, no, these are medical documents. That's a HIPAA thing. And she said, I said, Commissioner Bukacek told me, I said, as you know, a couple weeks ago that she wouldn't talk to me unless I emailed her and got permission. And I'm not going to email her and get, or anybody, and get permission to talk. You know, on PSC stuff. You know, I'll swing into your office. You can swing into my office, walking down the hall. I don't care. I said, and you seem to get along with her, so could you remind her that this is wildly against the law to use the equipment, and that this is medical stuff, and she has to be far more careful because she's getting a lot of trouble. And I really didn't notice, you know, overflowing garbage can, you know, for a while. About two, three weeks ago, I walked in, and, you know, but every night that machine would whir and whir and whir and whir, and she's in there. And this was during the session, so a lot of us were there because every day we're doing stuff at the, with the legislature. So, I don't know, about 2, 3 weeks ago, it's overflowing again. So I grabbed a bunch of them. I was going to take them down and throw them into recycling. I looked, they're medical documents. there were the cover sheets for medical documents. And so I set them aside, and I was going to talk to Fielder again. Well, Fielder and I have been at war for a while and on various things. And so I decided I was going to take action and get stopped, because you can't have unprotected medical documents under HIPAA. It's supposed to be in a locked room with only one person has access, and they take it that serious, and it's serious business if they investigate and find this to be true. Well, here's the evidence. So I saved those, and I decided I was going to go down to the Commission on Political Practices and at least ask them to give her a warning, you know, knock it off. And on the day that I was going down, I go in, it's overflowing again. So I grab those. Well, you add them all up, they're, you know, like 5-6 inches thick. You know, it's more than a ream of paper, and these are just cover sheets. So I turn them in, and I said, this is what's been going on. And, you know, she's been warned, Fielder talked to her, and, you know, do what you're going to do, and here we are.
Okay, and this, I mean, just from my perspective, all I've been doing is reading the news stories, yeah. And this sort of follows on some other controversies from the PSC directed against you. What would you say to some people that would say, number one, this sort of just looks like you trying to get back at them? And then second of all, we got Republicans on the PSC. Why can't you guys get along and work together up there?
Well, going back to the first part, between any two points, a straight line can be drawn. If I want to take retribution and raise Cain with Annie, it's really easy. Just about every session, every work session, she's interrupting. She'll interrupt you while you're making a motion. So I want to talk. And, you know, so it's pretty, you know, and her votes are, for the vast majority of the 9 months that I've been there, 10 months, they've all been either 5-0 or 4-1. She's the one. And so if I wanted to take retribution on somebody, that's pretty easy to do. I haven't done it. I've never turned her in to on a complaint, anything. You know, I've always tried to work with her, tried to talk with her. So, no, this isn't about, you know, this is going on, therefore. It's not there. Okay, so why can't we get along? Well, for the first 4 or 5 months, we did. Commissioner Fielder wanted to be president really, really, really bad. She had no votes. You need three. And so she voted for me. And though the way we look at the commission and its mission is very different, we didn't have an executive director. And so the president takes over that role. So I said, I don't want to take it over. You know these people. You know the personalities. That's the important part of this role. And you know the current issues better than I do, so we'll split it. We will agree on everything that's under the ED head. And sometimes it got fiery. Most of the time, though, we just, you know, talked, and I would say, you know, I'd never thought of that. You're right. Or she'd say, you know, pleasure working with you. I didn't think it would be, but you bring good perspective. And it went very, very well. And then about 4 months ago, trying to send me to the governor to be suspended. I sent you the legal document that they used for that. I don't know if you had time to read it or not. I should be suspended because I held a press conference and said my due process rights are being violated. Well, you can't suspend somebody for holding a press conference and saying, it just ain't right. I'm telling you, it ain't right. Because my attorney wrote their attorney 4 emails. That's 4 reasons I should be suspended. An attorney can write an email to anybody if they want to. Retribution. They never came up with the retribution was that I held a press conference. So how's that retribution? It might be if you're, you know, if indeed, if I've proven it, my constitutional rights to due process are being violated.
And what's the current status of that complaint? I mean, the last I saw, the governor sort of hadn't acted on it. Is that kind of
still has not acted on it? My attorney wrote and said, look, their complaint was filed that he was abusing his powers of president to interfere with the interview and with the investigation. That was never proven. There was no anything brought, but he's no longer president. So I think you should return that to the PSC and say, you know, I can't take action because that's no longer the case. Well, so they filed a 3.5-page amended complaint that I was still taking retribution, still taking retaliation, with no statement of fact, no name of a person, no incident, no time frame, just Well, if you say that retaliation is your attorney wrote a letter, everybody in Montana, you know, on a fiscal basis is seeking retaliation. Well, it might be, but that doesn't mean I'm retaliating as a member of the commission against somebody that said something. Well, I don't know who it is because I don't know who those names are. How do I retaliate against somebody I don't know who it is?
Okay, so a couple other questions. No, I guess, and I think this is what our listeners are going to be thinking to themselves. How much of this sort of internal squabbling, for lack of a better term, between the PSC commissioners has to do with substantive sort of policy differences? And I guess on a follow-up to that is what's going on with the complaints against you, the complaint against Bukacek, is that interfering with any of the PSC's ability to do its substantive work? What are the big issues? I mean, from my perspective, I think from a lot of us out here, we view the PSC and our electricity rates as a very important deal because what we're paying for utilities has gone nothing but up, and we're getting ripped off through a lot of these utility rates, and it's being used to fund green energy initiatives and all things like that. And so it's important what you guys are doing, and we want it to be working properly.
Actually, there might be those that debate this, but the Montana Public Service Commission is the most powerful economic driver in the state of Montana. What we do is wildly critical, and we don't agree all the time, and it gets noisy. Okay, sometimes like the Israeli Knesset, which still functions, they're just noisy. Well, now it's getting down to because of the alliances that have been made. Okay, last Tuesday, you can look it up. The press all covered Wellborn being elected president. What they didn't cover was the last item on the day, which was mine. January 2024, there was a 24 to 35 below zero weather event. During that, Colstrip 4 was taken offline for maintenance. Well, the problems with it were known for 6 weeks before, when it was good weather and the day-ahead market for electricity was lower than the cost of production out of Colstrip. To have fixed it then would have saved money. They didn't. They wanted to wait, for reasons I don't know, until spring turnaround to do it. Well, it was leaking, and it kept getting worse and worse and worse. And they knew it because the gauges were showing them it was getting worse. Well, anybody in their right mind would have said, we're not going to risk the plant because if those bursts, you lose the whole plant. We're going to fix it. They didn't. They sent us a 50-page argument because I stopped it in February or January, not giving them the $5 million to buy electricity to replace it, $5 million. So like 6 months later, they sent us this 50-page document as to why what they did is prudent.
All right, we're going to hold that thought. We're talking to Commissioner Brad Molnar here on Montana Talks. We'll be right back.
Your morning cup of Sean. This is the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
Yeah, of course, you don't need an ID in New York. And Musk added that, you know, Mamdani's on the ballot twice. Maybe he can win twice, too. I mean, it's just typical dumb lack of election integrity. And as we, you know, start this day off, I would be negligent if I didn't say we've got to fix this. Republicans now have got to make this a priority. I mean, and it's not hard. Now, both parties have bitterly complained about election results. Hillary Clinton is one. Stacey Abrams is two. President Trump can be number three. Okay, there, I'm being fair. But we don't have election integrity, which is the problem. The measures to put in place are not complicated.
The conservative underground meets later today on the Sean Hannity Show.
We are seeing something really disturbing. Anti-Semitism on the rise. College campuses, halls of Congress, punditry world, around the world. Sadly, right here in America, you know, Jewish schools are being targeted, synagogues threatened. It was a tourist in Midtown Manhattan beaten and attacked in broad daylight. Why? Because he was Jewish. Okay, never again is right now. And I don't know what part of hundreds of thousands of missiles fired into Israel. Israelis murdered on October 7th. Murder, kidnapping, torture, rape, beheading that some people don't understand. What would you want Americans to do? What would you expect your government to do if we were attacked this way? The International Fellowship of Christians and Jews, they're on the front lines. They're providing all the humanitarian assistance to Jewish families under threat, and they're helping people rebuild their lives. Your gift, whatever you can give, and your support is life-saving work. Please Please donate generously. 888-488-IFCJ, 888-488-IFCJ or ifcj.org.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With a mix of clouds and sunshine across the area for today, high temperature readings will stay right around 60 from Bozeman to the Billings area. For tonight, we can expect a partly to mostly cloudy sky, isolated rain shower chance towards Bozeman. Otherwise, low temperatures in the upper 30s to lower 40s. Partly sunny Thursday, 51 in Bozeman to 60 in Billings. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm weatherology meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Hey, Aaron Flint here with Montana Talks. I tell you what, we get some great guests on this show. We have some great sidekicks that join us on this show. And we've got friends inside the Trump administration and on Capitol Hill that will join us on this show. But I'll tell you what, the best part of Montana Talks, your phone calls. The chance to get to hear from people all across Montana and for you to be heard all across Montana. Keep your phone calls coming with Montana Talks, the show where you get to talk and be heard across the state. Westland
Financial. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
David Noble filling in for Aaron Flint. We got in the studio Montana's PSC Commissioner Brad Molnar. By the way, if any of the other PSC commissioners want to be on the show, it's an open invite to Commissioner Fielder, Commissioner Bukacek. Commissioner Molnar, you were saying right before the break there some of the sort of substantive differences you guys have been working through.
It was about five in a row, but they've all gone 100%, can't defend them votes. They come down solidly on the side of the utility and solidly against the ratepayer. It's supposed to be balanced. The ratepayers' needs are balanced with the needs of the utility. What I'm talking about, so they spent $5 million more for energy because they put off maintenance for 6 weeks on Colstrip. A 50-page document as to why that was right. Half hour, you can go back. Last Tuesday, Montana PSC, YouTube, click on it. It's the last thing on the agenda. I argued that the document they gave us must be peer-reviewed. I wasn't looking for a super deep dive. We didn't have to have a hearing. I wanted somebody who knew something about coal-fired generating plants and protocol for fixing things to tell us that what they did was within protocol. It may have had a disastrous result, but it was within protocol. The vote came down 3-2. We would not peer-review it. We would simply give them $5 million. That's horrific. Another one, I said that the...
And my understanding is when you say the results were disastrous, my understanding is that if Colstrip was shut down, as you mentioned, because of this, then that means Northwestern had to purchase electricity on the open market that was more expensive. Right. And that gets passed on to the ratepayers, too.
Right. 4 or 5 days before that, electricity was more like about $50. When they did it, it was over 1,000. So, yeah, it's serious. Were they not aware that it gets cold in Montana? Are they not aware that workers trying to fix something at 30 below are slower because they got to wear great big mittens? You know, it took them an extra day to fix it. That's why. Okay? They had the parts. They had the personnel. That wasn't the issue. They didn't do it. So for me to say, I want a peer-reviewed document so we know what they're saying is true, that's at least plausible. To be told no shocked me. And I was told no by Bukacek, Fielder, and Wellborn. Wellborn abstained the first time on my motion to have a guy have it peer-reviewed. However, I lost that, so they vote to just give them the money without looking at this any deeper than Molnar throwing a fit. Passed 3-2.
Hey, we got two minutes left, and so I want to give you a chance. I've been asking questions, but what do you want to say or what do you want to talk about?
Well, I want people to know that thus far the attempt to have the governor overturn an election and appoint his own person. You know, the law says it's temporary. Temporary is not defined. Fielder said that she doesn't want him to let me back on the commission until I agree to follow her internal policy manual. I don't have to agree to follow anything. I don't answer to her. I answer to the voters. I don't answer to the governor. Well, I might in a week or two. I answer to the voters. So that law is like 75 years old. It's never been used. Good cause has always been determined. You were convicted of a felony. Doesn't have to be there. You're convicted of a felony. You're no longer an elected person. And now it's, he's violating our internal policy manual, and he's not talking nice to everybody. Well, after 4 months of this, I'm not talking nice to anybody.
What if the voters wanted a politician to not be nice to people? I mean, that's the voters' right to want. So, and I'm not saying that you were that way or anything, but just hypothetically.
Well, by and large, I don't think I was mean to anybody. But to say, and this is apparently fairly new there, and you know, I've done it before. I can separate the metal muffins from the elk droppings, and to say, can you prove that? It's suddenly an offensive statement. To say, are you kidding me, is an offensive statement. To say, these are medical documents, they shouldn't be laying around. These are not offensive unless somebody says they are. If you read that document that Fielder sent and tell people what's in it, there is nothing in there that's actionable because they've taken verbs, but they have no fact. So they create a whole new definition. And that is creating the chaos.
I'm the threat that's already inside the house. I can't be scared away or negotiated with. You can't call the cops on me. You can't even see me. I'm the threat of family fire. And as long as your guns aren't stored securely, I'll be there. Protect your family. Learn how to make your home safer at endfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by Brady and the Ad Council.
When you're high, you feel different. Pretty obvious, right? You think different, talk different, but if you feel different, you drive different. So if you're high, just don't drive. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.